Odd Conduit Media.
What's it gonna be? What's it gonna be?
Na. Big out of it!
You are now listening to the
High Rule Podcasters!
Hey all you Zoni Truthers, welcome to another season of
High Rule Podcasters!
I'm your co-host Ben.
And I'm your co-host Pat.
On this audio-only Let's Play, we venture through each game in Nintendo's Zelda franchise.
Yep. We're pretty practiced gamers, but we're not experts or purists. We're just experiencing each game start to finish.
And this season, we're playing The Legend of Zelda: Tears of the Kingdom.
Whoops!
That's right. We're coming in and doing the exact thing we said we wouldn't do, which is do a season on Tears of the Kingdom.
You know, we were going to do Majora's Mask, and I know that some of you were excited to play along with Majora's Mask with us, but we're both playing Tears of the Kingdom right now. And I just don't have time in my life to play two Zelda games at once. I don't think Ben does either. So here we are. But while you may be disappointed,
huge news
that we're not playing Majora's Mask, we have a special guest.
Hi, special guest.
Hello.
It's our mom. Our mom is on this season of the podcast.
I am playing Tears of the Kingdom.
I will say, literally, mom is actively playing as we podcast. So
yeah, I am actually. I'm running around right now.
So while mom's running around, we're going to play the audio of the moment that brought us here. So this is my mom squaring off with Calamity Ganon in her living room a while back. Producer's note, there's no color commentary on this two-minute clip. I just recorded it on my iPhone. Mom's mic in this entire episode is a little off because we're still working out the kinks. Totally worth it, though. So I recorded this on my phone and pieced it together because this boss fight is absolute gold. Here we go. Mom versus Calamity Ganon.
Okay, let's eat all the strawberries.
Patrick, what are you doing? Patrick!
It is not going down at all. It never goes down.
It's going down.
Oh my gosh! Oh. Did I do it? Oh, this better not just be a trick. Oh no. It was a trick.
I'm not done! Patrick!
Go get your bow. Did you get it?
I'm using something.
I think you have to get that bow that was flying.
Okay.
Up Maybe where? It's on his head.
Up where?
I don't know. There it is. Shoot it.
Man. You told me I could float, so I was gonna try to fly.
There you go. Now, slow-mo, go, slow-mo.
Okay, now let's see what they're gonna do. Are they gonna give me four of them? Oh, a Triforce, look! I did it! I really did do it this time!
You really did it this time!
Just beat Ganon, what are you doing now?
Opening Tears of the Kingdom. As you can see, I'm unwrapping it. It's a little tiny.
You know, they say the cartridges taste weird if you lick them. You want to try it?
No.
You sure?
Yeah. Okay, which way do you put it in?
Alrighty.
So what are you about to do now?
I'm going to play Tears of the Kingdom. New adventure. Hey, Pat, maybe we can cover this on Hyrule Podcasters.
So there you have it. There was tension. There was an unexpected final form, which I think that, Mom, you should have expected because you've introduced us to Zelda. So I gave my mom my Wii U a while back so she could play Tears of the Kingdom. She nearly 100% of the game, but hadn't beaten Ganon yet, had some trouble. So I was in town and I coached her through that final boss fight, as you just heard, and went out and bought her a copy of Tears of the Kingdom. Ben had already bought me a copy, so we were like, let's just all play together. So here we are with the first episode of
Hyrule Podcasters!
Ultrapod! Exploring a Torn Kingdom. We're covering the Great Sky Island this episode, and we'll break down the format of this season shortly.
So if you have not gotten off the Great Sky Islands, and you don't want to hear about anything in the Great Sky Islands, this will be the time to come back in once you have completed the Great Sky Island. Patrick! Mom! You ready?
Yes.
Why not?
I'm ready. Yeah.
All right. So
we're ready.
As a quick check-in, where is everybody as of today in the game? Not spoiling anything, of course. How long have you played? Kind of what are you up to?
Oh, geez. I don't even... I've probably played for 30 hours or something.
Okay.
I have gotten one of the regional phenomena.
Okay.
And I have kind of just futzed around a bit. Other than that, I have, I don't know, 15 shrines done, and I've gotten some of the map, maybe like 5 sections of the map.
Gotcha. All right, Mom, how about you? Where are you right now in this game?
Okay, I have 7 hearts, and my stamina is the first extra little line. All the way around it. So I don't know how many shrines that is. And I have all the map.
You have the whole map.
I do. I did that first. I did that first because I was just so lost. Didn't know what I was doing. Yeah. So I battled my way through that, through getting that done. And
good work.
Yeah.
Did one of the... They're not called beasts in this game. Phenomenon. Oh, no.
Classic.
Shoot.
That is a word that our mother has struggled to say our entire lives.
Tullin. I have Tullin. So I did the wind.
Okay. Ben, where are you at?
So I've beat the game from a story perspective. I've completed the main quest in the game. I'm now coming back and doing lots of side quests and having fun and playing around in different spots. But yes, I kind of am bringing that perspective to this as we go through. And I probably did like 75 hours, I would say, total to beat the game.
Before we get to Sky Island today, I would like to talk about your battle with Ganon in Breath of the Wild. So... As you all might remember from probably playing Breath of the Wild, you can kind of play the game forever and never get to Ganon. Now, our mom tried to beat Ganon. Why don't you tell us about your initial experience trying to beat Ganon?
Okay, I probably spent a good 30 hours just trying to beat the dude. And I would get to the point where there would be maybe a quarter of life left on him, and I just couldn't get past that part. Just around and around and around and around in that gosh darn castle room. So finally I just gave up.
Right, and I remember you were like, I'll beat him when you're in town.
Right.
And Ben and I came in and out of town multiple times, and it just wasn't a priority on the list.
But with Tears of the Kingdom coming out, I wanted to finish it because I didn't want to start this game without completing the other. So Patrick showed up and was able to help me by pointing on the large screen TV where I should shoot my arrows. And where I should run, which was very helpful.
Our mother loves to use her bow and arrow.
Oh.
In fact, I rarely...
The sword doesn't exist. There are no swords in this game. Like, you know how all of you were really frustrated that swords would break? None of Mom's swords broke because she never used them.
Swords are my last resort. No, really, spears. I don't like spears at all. Spears do not go where I want them to go. But yes, give me a bow and arrow any day.
Wait. Mom, what have you learned recently that has helped spears go where they're supposed to go?
I'm watching my mom play this game, and I'm like, okay, now run up and attack that. And slice the part of Ganon once Ganon's kind of laying there on the ground. And My mom's like, I can't seem to, just flailing is I think the verb
I agree, flailing, yes. Yes.
And yes. So I'm like, why aren't you locking on to your target? She's like, oh, I don't, that's not how I play. And in the moment, I was like, we're going to just get through this and we'll come back and address this later. So Ben was recently on the phone with mom.
So I'm on and I was chatting with you, oh, yes, about using a shield.
Right.
Because she was like, oh, I keep getting hit. And I was like, well, why don't you just use your, because you didn't want to dodge, which is fine. I was like, yeah, but like your shield, like you're holding your shield up in front of you. And you're like, no, I don't know how to pull the shield out. And I was like, oh, that's how you, I was like, you know, just like, you know, when you lock on, mom, like that pulls your shield out. You don't have to worry about it. It pulls your shield out. She's like, what's lock on? So then I make, so what mom has in front of her, which you can't see, well, we can't see either. We just know what's there. There's a TV, there's a bunch of gaming systems, and then there are these 3-foot by 2-foot whiteboards that have an Xbox controller drawn on it, a Pro controller drawn on it. And what mom does is mom labels all the buttons because she's switching back and forth between games. You know, Watch Dogs 2 has a different controller setup than Tears of the Kingdom. So, I mean, very smart.
Dying Light, yeah.
But right there, on the picture of the controller that she is literally looking at, on ZL, it says focus. It says focus. It says it right there.
It does.
And it's
so mom,
funny.
You have been using focus.
I have, and I'm amazed.
Oh, okay, so you've adopted the Z targeting. So, mom,
I am slowly but surely getting to use
so
it.
So let us give you a little history lesson. So I know that you played the first Zelda, and then were just disgusted by the second Zelda, which we've talked about on this podcast. And then yes. I think you like switched over to Final Fantasy. Like you didn't even go back to Zelda. Did you even ever play?
Oh my gosh! Yes, I played. Okay. I played
A Link to the Past.
What was that? A Link to the Past. And I played the one after that.
You played Ocarina of Time on the 64.
No, I did not play that one.
Therefore, you don't know the game that invented Z targeting, because you didn't want to. You didn't want that adventure, like slice 'em and dice 'em. 3D kind of aspect to Zelda. That's the direction that it went in. So you jumped basically straight from overhead Zelda to Breath of the Wild, and you did not learn how to Z target, which is, you know, which is what locking on or focusing is, what as they call it now is. So again, I'm watching mom flail trying to defeat Ganon, and I think that you died once and then we got you back in there. And you had plenty of food, and you had, you know, so you were reviving yourself. But again, you were having trouble seeing where to slice, where to dice.
I had problems with actually seeing what I was supposed to hit on the screen.
Yeah, and then I was like, we did it. I forgot that there was a final form.
Oh, man. I was mad.
Yeah, you were mad. I'd be like,
I was, because here I thought I beat the game, and then he comes back even stronger.
And I didn't.
What trickery.
What trickery. I'd forgotten. And Zelda says, get on your horse.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah. It gets better.
And I say, all right, get on your horse. And mom goes, oh, I've never ridden a horse before. Ever in this game.
I always run around. I just run around the whole land.
So I'm like, okay, can we, and to be fair, the final form of Breath of the Wild of Ganon isn't that crazy difficult if you're on a horse, but you're not fast enough to get around to the vulnerable parts of this gigantic beast on foot. So mom's literally just sprinting, trying to get to these sections of Ganon that are exposed, and the final form attacks aren't that strong, but it took forever. And I mean, it was hilarious. And so eventually she defeated Ganon. We celebrated, went and bought the video game. I got a text from her a few days later. It said, I got on the first horse I saw.
Woo!
I did. And yes, I did. Tis the kingdom. I got on the very first horse. I gave him an apple and I jumped on his back.
That's true.
Now, he ended up bucking me off and running away.
But you did it.
At least I did it. I did it. Yeah. And I do have a horse in the stable now.
Patrick, this is my mom texting me. Patrick, you'll be pleased to know that the first horse I met, I fed an apple, then rode around. LOL.
Amazing.
So you're coming in hot off of Breath of the Wild. How do you feel about the similarity in the controls and the character itself?
I like that the controls are the same. That is something that I gripe about when I play a game, especially if I've played, like I played Watch Dogs 1, and then when I went to 2, the controls were different. I'm like, come on, just keep them, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's very convenient, especially for someone like me that's older and that I switch between game systems, that the controls are very the helpful. Same. Since I had just finished Breath of the Wild.
Good.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad that you waited to beat Ganon until I was around, because that was wonderful.
Absolutely.
Ben, is there...
What?
Is Beetle in...
He's here!
He's in your studio! Oh, no. What's up, Beetle?
He's in the basement! He's behind Mom!
For us?
Hi there, I'm Lyndon.
And I'm Matt.
And together we run Sacred Realms, a Zelda retrospective podcast.
Join us every week while we do a retrospective look back on all of your favorite games. In not chronological order, but in voting order, we take a small look, one little section at a time, at every Zelda game that has ever been made, except for a few notable exceptions.
Except for one or two. We get most of them, and we tackle them book club style in our weekly podcast. We have made it through most of the Zelda series at this point, and we have quite a little backlog. So if you're looking for a fun Zelda podcast to catch up with on your commute, while you're at the gym, just bored at home, check out Sacred Realms, a Zelda retrospective podcast, because we have got quite a lot of material in the bank, and we've covered a lot of ground. It's a fun community, and Matt and I look forward to entertaining you with our musings, our terrible jokes, and our slightly less terrible observations.
We hope you'll join us, and may your hearts be full, and may your arrows never miss.
Thanks, Beetle. Missed you, bud. It's been too long. So it's really good to be back. We've missed doing the show. As we played through Tears of the Kingdom, we tried to figure out what would be the best format to present this. Our main rule of this podcast is that we're supposed to have fun, right? So we didn't want to like add too much to our gameplay experience for ourselves, because we wanted to enjoy this game. And so we had some ideas, but we came back around to committing to an audio-only Let's Play.
We're doubling down.
Yes, we're doing it. Basically, we're covering the parts of the game that everybody is going to play.
Right. So that means that we will be covering all of the temples, because we feel like pretty much everybody is going to do all the temples. And then there are two major boss battle sequences that, again, pretty much everybody is going to do both of those in some way, shape, or form. And so we really thought that that was the best structure. So the other thing that everybody also does is the Great Sky Island.
This episode, however, is an intro episode. We're not going to audio only Let's Play through the Great Sky Island, because that sounds kind of boring.
Yeah, a little long.
Instead, we're just going to walk through it a little bit, share our impressions, and on the next episode, we'll get into a temple.
All right, so we are now going to do a bit of exploring of the Great Sky Island. So this is where you first appear when the game gives you control of Link. And just like Breath of the Wild in the Great Plateau, you are going to get some shrine visits in. You're going to get some new abilities. You're going to meet some monsters. And in general, you're going to kind of figure out how the basic mechanics of this game are going to play. So we end up visiting 4 different shrines. And we end up getting Ultra Hand, Fuse, Ascend, and Recall as the 4 main abilities that you'll be using for puzzle solving, navigating, and combat in the game. We also get to play around with the Zonai devices. And so this time around on the Great Sky Islands, we get to see the flame emitter, the fan, the portable pot, and we get to see the infamous wing.
The infamous wing.
So, the infamous wing. It's infamous to me because I feel like it always disappears right when I'm getting to where I want to go. All right, so Patrick, what'd you think when you woke up and started exploring the Great Sky Islands?
I am equal parts eager to start the game and grateful that there's a tutorial. It's a fun version of a tutorial, right? It's not as much dialogue as some games have, and the learning is through action, which I really appreciate. Again, you know, I'm like, just throw me in, coach, but I do like that you learn the new things and you learn them pretty quickly. Right. There's not a lot of like lollygagging here at this point. You get to go into the shrines, figure the stuff out, and get to work. So that's what I liked about it. It's intriguing. You're like, where am I? There's some mystery to the whole thing.
What are these constructs and all this architectural design?
So many cool questions. And you know that you already know that you're in store for a wallop of a game, but the island here really reinforces that.
Yeah. So, Mom, you wake up, you start exploring, and we end up getting four abilities this time around.
Right.
What of the four of those are you most excited about?
Well, gosh, that's a hard question. However, I do really like to climb. I like to climb and get as high as I possibly can on things. Mm. So I think probably ascend, because it's so helpful with getting, if you get underneath something to go through it to get higher onto things.
Do you like find yourself kind of like clicking it on and then like trying to find like the edge or the corner of something where it's...
Oh, yes. And seeing if I can actually move over just a bit more to ascend before I fall off of a cliff.
Right. Can I be on this little edge? And I do that a lot, I feel like, up on the sky islands, where you're just like, okay, I'm balancing here at the bottom of a sky island. If I could just get my ascend to turn teal for a moment.
I also find myself stacking things to stand on so I can ascend.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yep. Totally.
Yep. That's totally a lot of fun. Totally.
Which you use, what's the name of that one?
Oh, Ultra Hand.
Ultra Hand, yes, to move things around and grab
them. We had Ultra Hand in the last game, but it wasn't called that.
Yes, we did. It wasn't called the same, but you could grab stuff like underwater and pull treasure chests out of the water and stuff like that.
Oh, we had Magnesis.
Magnesis, thank you.
So it had to be metal, and you couldn't and you couldn't fuse anything or build anything.
So
that's, you know, that's a Ultra Hand is a really cool take on Magnesis. You can touch more than metal. You can stick things together.
Well, you manipulate more with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
And it's not just metal.
Right. I think that I, right now in the game, I really enjoy using recall. I've been traveling a lot with recall.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, I really enjoy picking up a platform, moving it to where I want to go, putting it right back in front of me, right, with Ultra Hand, and then standing on it and recalling to carry myself across pits.
Right.
Oh, what a cool idea.
Yep, there you go.
Yep.
Oh, instead of, like, I just jump off and hope that I can fly that far with my glider.
Oh, man. Can we talk about how at first you don't have a glider? I kept jumping off of everything and dying. Because I'm so used to having a glider.
Totally. Yeah, totally.
I remember texting Ben and being like, when do I get a glider? And he's like, I'm not going to answer that question. And I got it like 10 minutes later. I was about at my wit's end, and then I got my glider.
Oh, all right.
So we've talked about ascend. We've talked about, it's how do you not talk about the Ultra Hand? And we've talked about recall.
And then so my favorite is actually fuse. And I mean, it could be because I am further into the game potentially, you know, that I kind of have a lot of time to fuse lots of things. But I mean, you are just, I am constantly building the weapon that I need in that moment. I mean, all the time.
Oh, I've never built any weapons.
Oh, yeah. You know, so you you need a rock hammer to, like, break up all these rocks. So I'm going to build a quick rock hammer.
Right. That's right. You take a sword and fuse a stone to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I love later on you defeat an enemy that has a really strong thing that it gives you, but it's, like, floppy and has a little ball on the ends. And I love sticking that, like, on my swords, and it kind of gets, like, it's, like, this little, like, ball on the end, and it just, like, beats up people.
Of those four, you know, it was really cool. The shrines are a great way to learn how to use things.
Totally.
It is, and they're not impossible. They don't make you so frustrated you just want to quit right away.
Correct. They're fun. They're
that
fun.
Would be bad game design.
Yes, they're fun.
And they're engaging. I feel like a lot of people's...
Well, I've played games like that.
Yeah, well, a lot of people's complaint about Breath of the Wild was that you just keep dying over and over and over again. And I feel like this game sets you up a little better from the jump to kind of figure out how to use these things. And then also, there's... You run into enemies a little less in the very beginning, I feel. And so perhaps it's not as frustrating for people that mind dying over and over again. Again, I'm a Mega Man player. Don't mind trying again and again and again.
Oh, you know what? Now that I think about that, the Breath of the Wild was very frustrating for me.
You had a hard time.
I died and all I could find was a dang tree branch. And they only lasted like two swipes.
Yep.
That's right. That was very frustrating. Oh yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like this game sets us up a little better. Ben, you want to walk us through some of the shrines real quick?
Yeah, so I'm just gonna, you know, straight up apologize for how I'm gonna butcher these shrines. So so we end up getting four shrines here. So the first one that Zelda Dungeon, shout out Zelda Dungeon.
Shout out Zelda Dungeon.
Has listed is the Okuho Shrine.
Mm-hmm.
The next is the Inisa Shrine.
Good job.
We then have the Gut Tanbach Shrine. Mm-hmm. And then the Nak Oya Shrine.
I think you did
and
pretty
so
good.
And so each one of these... Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Uh-huh. Each one of these is where you get one of those initial abilities from the game. So the Uku Shrine is where you get, it's called the ability to, also known as the ability to create. This is where you get the Ultra Hand ability.
Okay. The ability to create. I see it on the map.
The Inisa Shrine is the ability to combine, and that's where you get the fuse ability. The Gutanbach Shrine is the ability to rise. This is the ascend ability that Mom loves so much. And the last one is the Nakoya Shrine, which is the ability to rewind, and this is the recall ability. So we have these four shrines, we have these four abilities, and that's the main prerogative that you have for the Great Sky Island, because right now, your right arm, which is Raru's arm, isn't able to open up the door fully into the Temple of Time. And so you need to go around, get the four shrines, get the different abilities, and then you're able to finally open the door. And then that leads you into the Temple of Time in the sky.
The Temple of Time in the sky. And again, just to rewind back, Zelda, it's the game starts with Zelda and Link. I'm assuming everybody listening to this went through has started the game. But the game starts with Zelda and Link exploring a cave. You see some old runes that possibly show the ancestors of the Hylians and the Kingdom of Hyrule. And then a mummy wakes up, right? That's kind of scary. Mom and I watched that together. And everything kind of falls apart. Zelda falls down a hole. Link tries to save her. His arm gets infected and demonized, apparently. And then you wake up with a new hand. And Raru apparently has given you his hand. I like how dark it is. You know?
It is dark.
I like the scariness. I like the spookiness.
Oh, okay. Right.
Right, Mom, I know that you're used to slaying zombies, but most of the games that we play, I don't know, you know, there's a dark element, but they really come out the gate freaking you out. So you meet Rauru, seems like a pretty cool guy, right?
He has those nice ears. He has a good set of hair.
Yeah, you don't really know what he is.
Right.
Yeah.
So he's an apparition, and every time that you're going the right direction, Rauru appears, talks you through some stuff, and so at this point,
gives you some advice,
very generously, and then at this point you get to the classic Temple of Time, which is exciting to get to the Temple of Time so early in the game. So Ben, what happens next?
Yeah, so once you're actually through the Temple of Time, you push open this giant door, and then you make your way out kind of towards, you know, what looks to be kind of the end of the Temple of Time as we're getting close to the sky. And all of a sudden, you find a mysterious ball of light. And then, what's really cool, for those of you that know what it is the Master Sword, it actually makes a chime. And so this chime, my understanding is Fi from Skyward Sword. That's like the Master Sword. So that's Fi, who is in this game, which is just super cool.
Who?
Well, you never played the game, so you don't know. But right. Skyward Sword is the...
Was that a spoiler thing?
Nope. So, well, Skyward Sword is the original game in the chronological series. Mm-hmm. And it's where the Goddess Sword becomes the Master Sword. And it's inhabited by this spirit, is a good way to put it, called Fi.
Okay.
Yep. So then what you end up doing is you pull out the Master Sword, you place it into this ball of light, and then it disappears.
Where'd it go?
And then we see it reappear in a different time, and Zelda is there at the temple, and she takes the broken sword, and then this is where she sends a message across time and space to Link that he must find her.
Right? So pretty much immediately, you're not trying to save a princess. You are trying to reconnect with the princess, right? She's in the past with the Master Sword, doing all types of cool stuff.
And then so the clouds part in front of you. You see Hyrule in front, and all you have to do is jump.
All you have to do is jump. I don't know about you. Oh my gosh, but I...
That was so scary.
Every time I jump, I like get that feeling like I'm jumping off a 10-foot cliff into some water, which I do frequently, but like I get it even in the game. It's wild how it's, you know, it's not real.
Yes, I know, but it is. Yep. It makes your heart just go right into your throat.
Every time.
Totally.
Yep.
And we're going to keep all of your hearts right there in your throats. Because we're going to talk about what happens when you land on the next episode of
Hyrule Podcaster.
Welcome back.
Thanks, everybody. Glad to be back. Woo!
Thanks for listening to this episode of
Hyrule Podcaster
Ultrapod,
exploring a torn kingdom.
If you like what you're hearing and want to support us directly, you can head over to our Patreon page. We'd also love to see you in our Discord. You can find us on Instagram and Facebook at Hyrule Podcasters and on Twitter at Hyrule Podcaster.
As always, this episode was produced by Patrick. And we'd like to thank LT Headtrip for composing original music for the podcast, including our theme song.
If you'd like to play along with us, Tears of the Kingdom is available exclusively on the Nintendo Switch.
And be sure to rate and review us in Apple, Spotify, or wherever ye happen to listen.
And action!
Say, maybe we could cover this on the Hyrule Podcasters.
You never know.
Say
Hyrule.
Say the whole thing.
Maybe we can cover this on the... Hyrule Podcast.
Hold on. Cut. Try to sound natural. Say, oh, Pat, maybe we can cover this on the... And then do the thing.
Okay. Hey, Pat, maybe we can cover this on Hyrule Podcasters.
Odd Conduit Media.